The following podcast is a presentation of Small Biz America.
Small Biz America.
The Brain.
Our guest on this segment of the Small Biz Brain has more than 22 years experience providing consulting, training, and coaching to clients all over the globe. Brian Mulliter is the author of several books, including The Power of Agreement, Boy's Passage, Man's Journey, and Girl's Passage, Father's Duty. In his latest book entitled Win, 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 he talks about how organizations can get commitment to shared vision and values and set the course for a better future. Joining us on the line to tell us more is author Brian Mulliter. He's the author of Win, Win, Win. Welcome to the Small Biz Brain.
Thank you so much.
The book is called Win, 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 where you add this extra win. And in that book, you're encouraging readers to take this win-win one step further. Brian, tell us, what is win, win, win? What does that outcome look like in real life?
Well, it's the outcome is it's really based on the reality that when we go from win-lose sorts of relationships with people, we mature into this thing that we call win-win. In other words, I'm looking for something good for you in the deal. You're looking for something good for me. And whether that's in a corporate world or between a husband and a wife or among an eldership board at a church, you know, that's where mature people are headed. But at times it's hard to have the motivation to make that work. I mean, we get a little weary. We tend to give up on doing things right. What I want people to understand is that there's always a third factor. There's always a third win or a third lose involved in the equation. If a husband and wife, if they head toward win-win relationships, the third win comes certainly for their children, their grandchildren. There's somebody else that's going to be affected by the decisions that we make, the type of life that we lead. In the corporate world, when I can get labor and management to work together, as we have so many times over the last quarter century, there's always a spillover into the community when jobs are retained, when new jobs are created. The customers are affected, suppliers are affected. And so the reality is when we get to the place of where we're living in a win-win mindset, there's a whole nother group, another concentric circle of people that win as well.
Beautiful, Brian. You're a consultant, coach, author now. For you, what led to the creation of this particular book?
Well, you can call me an old guy. I passed 50 here not too long ago.
Well,
and it was time to really capture all of the things that I've learned. And, you know, I've spent half my life working, you know, in this marvelous field and worked all around the world and worked with Fortune 500 companies and little mom and dad shops and everything in between. And win-win-win is really the capstone, and it captures all of the neat things that we've learned about organizational success. And there's a lot of different case studies, and we've studied some of these places where we worked for years and years just to make sure that what we were doing wasn't flash in the pan.
Sure.
And so we threw those case studies in there as well. So what I really wanted to do was put together a definitive work for organizations that want to become successful. They want to do it the right way. They don't want to go with a dog-eat-dog route. And so win-win-win was an opportunity to show them how it's done. And we didn't hold anything back. It's not like a little teaser and then, you know, call me and I'll give you the real story. The real story is in there.
All right. I see that. When you consult with organizations or even individual small business owners and the like, what are the most common challenges you see facing these organizations and when they try to make improvements without this approach or an approach like this?
Yeah, I think what I've really found is there's a couple of different organizational stages, if you will. And the first one is, you know, you've got an idea, but you have a lousy product, you have terrible service, and you're just simply not going to make it. Well, you know, if you don't have something that will keep you in the marketplace, then all bets are off. But what I found with organizations that have been around for a little while, or even startups that have a solid product or a solid service, the most common challenge from my perspective is on the human side of the equation. So it's not marketing, it's not finance, it's not sales, it's not anything other than the human side of the relationships are just not right. Because you've got to have people connected to a common vision, you've got to have common values, You've got to be able to communicate and to listen. You've got to have trust within the organization. And if you don't have those things, you can't solve problems together. You can't make plans together. You can't implement solutions together. And so what I find is we assume that if I have a warm body that I say, okay, now you're an employee or you're even a partner, well, now I've got it. Well, no, that's just the start. It's like meeting somebody that you're going to eventually marry. There's this courtship process, and you got to get to know each other. You got to know how one another thinks and ticks and what are the hot buttons and so on. And organizations that don't take the time to build those relationships and open the lines of communication, they're in real trouble, because sooner or later you're going to hit the wall and you're going to face something as an organization that will be such a challenge that if you don't have a common approach, if you don't get the troops rallied around that, it will probably sink you. And in the United States alone, you know, consider how many organizations have gone out of business here, especially during challenging economic times. It's the human side that really needs the attention.
Yeah, really kind of an emotional intelligence in whatever context you're applying it to, isn't it?
Yeah, very much. And what often happens is you get technical people that have a great idea for a business,
yeah.
Or you have a business that's been around forever, like our automotive industries, and we've worked with many of the different plants, the automotive plants in the U.S. They are just so stuck in a mindset of, we are management, we're smart, you're labor, you're dumb.
Yeah.
Or labor has this thing about, well, you know, you're not telling us anything, and just gets entrenched. And it is the lack of the building of the positive relationships within that industry that, by and large, has caused it to flounder.
We're visiting with Brian Molitor. He's the author of Win, 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 the website
MolitorInternational.com.
When you go into organizations like this, I guess in a consulting role, let's get under the hood. I mean, how does this process work? How do you untangle these sorts of human dysfunctions and reprogram?
Yeah, it's always interesting. The first thing that we have to do is we have to find out what people think and perceive. And so we don't do computerized surveys, man. We don't send off a little form and check the box.
Yeah.
My associates and I go right inside of organizations, and we do face-to-face interviews with as close to 100% of the people that work there as we can get. And that has meant in some places where we've been, you know, we've worked in companies with 4,000 people and sometimes more. And so we'll be in there at midnight and 3 in the morning and, you know, afternoon shifts and evening shifts. And we simply talk with people. And we ask them to talk to us about what's good and what is not so good within that work environment. And a lot of the questions revolve around leadership, relationships, listening, communication, problem solving. What would you like to change if you were president for a day? And it's so interesting, because the leaders of the organizations that hire us often will say, well, they won't say it. These people are not going to talk to you. They're pretty tight-lipped. And we go in there, and, man, you can't close the tap once it's been opened, because people want to share.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to give yourself to an organization and 8 or 10 hours a day, maybe for 20 years, maybe for 20 days, you want to see it work well. And what happens is people get frustrated. They get bottled up. Well, we go in and we hear them out. Once we get their ideas about what's good and what's not so good, we put that into a comprehensive report. We feed it back to the leaders of the organization and then work with them to create a strategic plan to get people rallied around a common vision, live according to common values, and build those productive relationships. And then the ship can leave the dock. Then things really get rolling.
Is it easy to work with the executive or the partners in a firm to make these kinds of transformations?
Well, it is, if they'll allow it to be.
Because that should have been the real question is, what are the range of responses you might get, and how do you handle that, or how do they handle it?
Yeah, well, the neat thing is we've, for the last 20-plus years, we've only worked on referrals. It's all been just word of mouth. And so we don't end up in a situation where we're doing cold calls and banging on somebody's door and trying to convince them that they might want to, you know, build better relationships so that they can be more successful.
Okay.
Yeah. So fortunately, most of the people that call us, they're already mostly committed, and they need a little bit of encouragement to make sure that they've made the right choice. What often happens, though, is let's say the president or the CEO of a corporation gives us the call. We might have one vice president or a plant manager down the line that is all freaked out. He's going to lose his power. She's going to lose her authority, they believe. And so we'll get some resistance from down inside the organization at times. And there it's just a matter of helping really reprogram the thinking about what power really means. Power, if all power is a title and your ability to fire somebody, that's a pretty small perspective on power.
Yeah.
And what we like to do is convince people that your power comes from your influence, and your authority should come from your vision and your values. And the greatest joy for a leader ought to be seeing the people around you and below you succeed. And as that mindset takes hold, we see some pretty interesting things in terms of success.
So you've seen some wonderful transformations within organizations. I know you've got a couple of stories. Maybe this is a good time to tell the Dow Corning plant story, how you helped transform these guys from a loose to win. How did that go?
That's one of my favorites. That goes all the way back to the 80s, and certainly there have been just countless examples of similar turnarounds, but that's one that will always stay with us.
Mm.
This was a plant down in Kentucky that was had two mean and nasty strikes, blood on the pavement. I mean, this was a mean place. They weren't making money. They were the absolute worst in every bottom line category throughout Dow Corning. And the corporate fathers up in Midland, Michigan, where I live, were getting ready to close this place down. And so hundreds of people would have lost their jobs. The community would have been affected, you know, children, et cetera. So anyway, we got the invitation to come in there and you know, at least present, you know, what we had in mind.
Yeah.
And what we had in mind was this, what we call the power of agreement process, where we were going to interview the people and train the leaders and teach team building and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like working with a bunch of junkyard dogs, man, for that first month or so, because everybody there, management and labor alike, had been so hurt and so wounded from one another that we came in and said, hi, we're here to help. And I thought we were going to, you know, lose our lives at times.
So there were some heated emotional conversations.
Mm. Yeah, it was real ugly. It was real ugly. And it was all us and them. And the older people were like tribal leaders that would tell the tales of how bad those other tribes were and, you know, how you needed to fight against them. And it was just brutal. But we stayed the course. And I've always told my associates, I say, you know, it's kind of like the old Star Wars thing, trust the force.
Yeah.
I tell them, trust the process. Because there's something in this process that we use that it's just this giant rock. It's very difficult to start, but once it begins to roll, you can't stop it. And so we did our assessment, and we fed it back. We created a plan. We started training the leaders of both labor and management. We did our first team-building session with the union folks, and by 10 after 10 in the morning, I was ready to go join the military or something because I said, I got to be in the wrong field here, man. These guys were so resistant, but I could tell it was just from being hurt and disappointed and, quite frankly, scared that they were going to lose their job.
Yeah, the fear, I'm sure, is often the source of a lot of this, isn't it?
Yeah, it was really thick in the place. But by the grace of God, we kept going. We got people trained. We got a little bit of hope established. I invited the most negative people. I said, listen, I want you to shift into a position of hostile neutral. In other words, you don't have to enjoy what's going on. You don't even have to participate. Just don't fight against me until you see which way this thing is going.
Yeah. In other words, give it a chance. Yeah.
Just give us a chance. And, you know, we're not all going to wear blue pajamas and sing songs down by the river, but just, you know, we're going to build a team here.
Right.
And within 18 months, that plant went from the worst in every bottom line category to the best in all of Dow Corning, including productivity, profitability, cost, waste reduction, and grievances dropped to absolutely zero.
Wow.
It was amazing. All the same people, too. So it's possible. I mean, people say, oh, you don't understand how rough our place is. I don't care. We've been to the roughest. And if you get folks on the same page, there's this marvelous thing called the power of agreement that is released. And when we begin working together as human beings, there's not a whole lot that can't be accomplished.
Brian, thanks so much for the more than glimmer of hope. The work you're doing is clearly very transformational, and the book is Win, Win, Win. We've been visiting with the author of that book, Win, 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 Brian Molitor, and he's also the CEO of Molitor International. Brian, thanks so much for sharing this morning.
You are welcome.
Small Biz America.
The Brain.
This podcast is produced by Small Biz America. If you'd like to find out about hosting your own podcast, visit us at smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz America.